Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. Hey everyone, I'm Liam the daughter.
I'm Lori, I'm the mom.
Ew, what happened to my voice? Daughter. I'm recovering. It was my birthday.
It was. What, did you go out party hardy? What? No. That's what you're recovering from?
No, this was like the most chill birthday I think I've ever had. Yeah. You know what? I'm 31 now. Well, it's time to grow up, Lee.
Over the hill.
It's time to fucking grow up.
The most chill birthday.
It was. Yeah. Like, you know what? I did request a chill birthday. That was my own.
No. Let's go back. Oh. As a matter of fact, what you requested is, don't even acknowledge my birthday.
I know. I had such a sour attitude. I've been going through it. I'm a little depressed. Shut up, Laura. I've been depressed, you know, since my dog died and everything. I just start weeping.
I know.
I was like, let's just not pay attention to me today. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. And that's kind of weird for me.
We have to celebrate the entire month. So,
and I didn't even really realize it was my day. I was like, oh, that's today. Great.
We've been really busy, but
we have. Yeah. We did, have a cool full moon film club.
We did. It was so fun.
With our patrons on my birthday. So we did celebrate.
We did celebrate.
Okay. I wasn't a total turd about it. Oh my God. Speaking of. I have a story.
It harkens you back, you know.
Yeah. It took me back. It took me back
to...
You
have a birthday that was worse than this
familiar
one?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I don't think, because it is mildly embarrassing, even though I like don't get embarrassed. This will do it a little bit. This will do it. So this is my birthday episode. Yeah. You're going to have to hear this, you know, horror story. It does involve poop. So if you don't like that, you know what? Skip ahead. A few years ago, I don't even know when, on my birthday.
After your shoulder surgery, right?
Yeah. So it was right around. So I had two shoulder surgeries because
Brazil nut incident.
I tore my rotator cuff. You know, when I was lifting a bag of heavy Brazil nuts, I don't want to talk about it. Don't ever bring a Brazil nut around me because I will get triggered. And the first surgery didn't take. And then I had a second. So it was somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I was like hopped up on pills, like pain pills.
Yeah.
And they didn't tell me.
They stopped you up.
That it would back my ass up. Literally. Girl, you look good once you back that ass up, but not in a sexy way, if you know what I'm saying. So I think I even, because I still get mad about this. Well, I still get mad about this to this day. I think I called them and I was like, hey guys, I can't shit. And they were like, okay, great. Here's another pill. And on that bottle of pills, it said one of the side effects
constipation.
Was constipation. What the fuck sense does that make? Anyway, I'm still mad about it. I will write a review. To the doctor's office. And so I was like extra backed up. And I'm trying to go to the bathroom on my birthday. Again, I really want to reiterate that this was my birthday.
All I was already, my birthday is a good, healthy poop.
I was already in a sling, so it already was not sexy. Jake had to help me shower, okay? Couldn't move my arm.
And you guys had not been dating that long, right?
Or had you? You know what? I think this was like around the 3-year mark. So you know what? Yeah, not the cutest look. That's what I was like. No wonder I don't feel sexy sometimes. The situations this man has seen me in, it's not great. So I'm trying to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Again, on my birthday. You know what? Wasn't happening. Was not happening. And like, when I tell you that up until that point, it was the worst pain.
Yeah.
I had at fuck the surgery. This was what
just
was doing.
Trumped it.
I literally felt like I was giving birth. And now that I have given birth, I am here to say it was not far off. It was kind of the same feeling.
You must have been super backed up, because I got to tell you, I just read an article yesterday. I don't know where it came from, but it said that at any given moment, we have 15 pounds.
Okay, great.
You know, stuck up there.
You know what? Thank you so for you that had visual. An extra,
maybe a 20.
I think I had a 20 pounder. October was born at what, 6 pounds? This was, it was really bad.
Yeah.
I was writhing in pain.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, I was literally like, Jake,
I'm dying.
Jake, help me. Just let me go.
Go on without me.
Call it. I've had enough. Just let me go. And he had to rush me to the emergency room because I literally told Jake, I was like, something's going to like burst. Like I'm going to have a fucking aneurysm. Like if I keep trying to get this out of me.
Never mind. I was going to say, are you going to pull an Elvis? But
oh my God, that's so mean.
That's tacky and mean and I hate myself for it.
You're tacky and I hate you. Actually, it was kind of funny. 10 Damn. Out of 10. I liked it. So I'm screaming,
Yeah.
He has to rush me to the emergency room.
Before we sat down, you said, were you here for this one? And I said, no.
Laura's usually around.
He said, that's a rarity.
I said, that's fucking great. I'm glad I only had one audience member for this one. Rushes me to the emergency room. And on my birthday, I had to have an enema. Yes, everyone. It is as gross as it sounds.
As Blink-182 would say.
I can't even look at that.
Of the state.
I can't even look at that album cover anymore. Her with the glove. Triggering. Triggered. It was so bad.
That's like, my favorite album of theirs.
You know what? What did I just say? I said I don't want to fucking talk about it. I can't listen to it ever again.
Oh my gosh.
It was bad. It was really bad. Jake was there the whole time. He's like, baby, you're going to be... It was, again, very similar. You could draw parallels to when I actually gave birth. Push, baby, push. You know? It was kind of the same.
Oh my goodness.
And honest to God, I'm not, you know, I have always said, like, I imagine that's what giving birth feels like. Kind of the Pretty same close. Pressure
wow.
kind of situation.
Just in a different area, different time zone.
You know what? Yeah. Kind of a little more, what is that? North, south? I don't know. I don't know directions.
South of the border.
Yes, thank you. So for my birthday, I had a lovely nurse's hand up my fucking ass. So and not in a good way. It was not pleasurable.
So basically what you're saying is even though this birthday was low key, it was better than that one.
There will always be that one. We'll always have this. You know what? The bar was...
We'll always have the enema. Wink, wink.
Of the state. Yeah. Occasionally Jake will bring it up and be like, hey, remember that one time? And I'm like, shh. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. It was one of those things we left and I was like, we will never speak of this again until I tell our thousands of listeners on a microphone. So there you all go. At least it wasn't as bad as that.
Great.
That took the shit sandwich. Let's see how many poop jokes we can slip in today.
Let's see how many
you
we
know
can.
What? I think I'll win.
Yeah, I got you some pretty flowers though. And they're sitting here in the studio.
You did get me beautiful flowers. Yeah. Jake got me, you know what? He took me to get my nails done. Yeah. He got me a book.
Yeah.
I have yet to be able to read it. I think I've made it like one page. Yeah. And October's like, book. And she, so you know what? We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And you know, just forewarning.
What?
Tomorrow we're going for haircuts and brows.
We all know how this is going to end.
You know, tune in next week. We're going to see how
that
goes.
I said I'm going to come back with no eyebrows. And again, unintentionally, it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be bad. Laura, all I have to say is Laura found a Groupon. So that is not a good sign. That is not a good sign. Someone help.
Stay tuned.
Help me. Yeah, we'll catch you next week.
Catch you next week
when
for
we're both back in the haircut hall of shame. We always find our way there. I recovered from my bob.
I mean, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say it can get worse than the Phyllis Diller look I had that one time. But now, what did you put the professor
you
from
had a rat
Back
tail.
To the Future?
You had a rat tail. You were giving Andy Warhol. It was nothing good.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, boy. There's been some good ones.
Yeah. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
But no, all in all, it was a good birthday. Mm-hmm. I will Chill. Say I had a very hard year.
Yeah.
I almost didn't make it past 30. And I'm not saying that even to be funny. 30 almost fucking killed my ass in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? Cheers to making
That's
it.
That's right.
Clink to 31.
That's right.
You can't catch me, bitch. Me to death. Nice try, motherfucker. I'm still here. Oh my God.
holding on by a thread. Now the thread is unraveled.
The thread has been long gone. That's what I, how many times can you say that until it loses meaning? You know what I mean? Like, girl, the thread is in here.
I mean, girl, just keep carrying that bobsled. That's all I got to say.
You know what? If Leon could do it, so could I. So here we are.
There we are.
We did have a lot of patrons. We have new patrons.
Yes.
Sign up specifically over break.
Yes.
So we're going to thank some of you today. If we didn't get to you today, don't worry. We're going to get to you in the next few episodes because there were actually a lot of you.
Yeah, so welcome.
So
awesome.
Yay. All right. Welcome to the family. Maddie. We love
Maddie.
You. Spencer. Hannah. I just want to make a song
we're
for everyone's
song-y.
Name. We are. And Kendall.
Oh, yay. Welcome.
We love all of you so much. Thank you for joining the family.
Yes, that's awesome.
If you would like to join our Patreon family, the link will be in our show notes. There's a free tier and also, you know, 5, 10, 25. You know what? Take your pick.
Yeah.
A lot of cool shit happening over
oh
there.
Oh my gosh. It's so busy over there.
It has become like its own social platform in the best way.
Yes.
Cause it's like people that actually,
nobody's mean to us over there.
Well, it's people that actually like, you know, like us. So yeah, it's like a
That's
positive
right.
space. Thank you. Let's keep it that way. Go check it out. Speaking of, over on Patreon, you can find the link to join our Lilydale, New York retreat.
Yes. Woo! Oh my gosh. I am so excited.
It's happening in August. We do want to say the spots are almost sold out.
Almost, yeah.
And we did not expect, we didn't know what to expect.
We
I guess
didn't.
We should say
we
that.
We just said, hey, we're going.
We're going.
Anybody that wants to come along.
If you want to come, come on over.
Yeah.
And a lot of you were like, fuck yeah, say less.
Yeah.
So there are only like, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 spots left. So if you would like to join our Lilydale retreat, please go check it out.
Yeah.
We would love to have you.
Yeah, and that's closing next week.
That is closing. You have one more week to reserve your spot. Oh my gosh. We could not be more excited. Thank
so
you all.
So excited. Yes.
You know, the support has been amazing and everyone is so excited and it seems like it's going to be a really fun, positive experience.
Yeah.
A good group of people. So if you would like to join the fun, go check that out.
And we're going on an Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet exclusive ghost walk and I am so excited.
That's what I'm most excited
for. I'm really
for.
Excited about that.
Yeah. We've been on ghost tours in Lilydale. before, but this one, like the fact that it's just for our group.
For
it's
us?
Going to be a little intimate and spooky.
Yes.
Ooh,
I'm
very excited.
So excited.
Let's, you know, Zach Bagans who?
Right?
You know what? Look
Step
the fuck
aside.
Out. They give us a flashlight. I am going to be serving Zach Bagans. Did that ghost just make fun of my mom? And it's funny because you're my mom. You know what? It's even funnier.
And the ghost probably would make fun of me.
No, for sure. If I was a ghost, I would. No one is safe. Okay, so with that,
here we are.
You know what? Let's get into it.
You know, and I, every year at this time, you speak in mixed messages.
Okay, what do you mean?
Because you tell me that I also should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Now that you've given birth to a child yourself, you say I gave birth to
you're
you.
Right.
I should
you're
also
right.
be celebrated. But yet, every year you hand me this shit sandwich.
I'm so sorry. It has, you know, if you're...
And I think you must not love me.
I do love you so much. I just like to make fun of the people I love.
Oh,
and I know
goodness.
Some people hate that. But
oh,
you know what?
Goodness.
Not here. Not here in this house.
I gotta tell you, this one was torture.
So if you're new here, the way our birthday episodes work is the birthday person gets to choose each person's movie or show or whatever topic. And it doesn't have to be magical.
Uh-huh.
It could be whatever the birthday person wants. You don't even have to do a lesson if you don't want.
Right.
I did today and it's pretty fucking fire. But I usually torture Lore with a really bad sci-fi movie because she is not into sci-fi. That is not her thing. And so I really just try to, it's become a competition.
It has. I'm going to get you.
Who can pick the worst movie?
Yeah.
And I think I'm winning.
I think
I've
you
made
are.
You do Mac and Me. And what did I, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Which was last year. That was so bad.
And guess what?
What?
This one was worse.
Oh my God,
worse
was it really?
Than the two combined. I'll take those two any day
you know
over
what?
This.
Mac and Me's good. Howard the Duck, really trash.
This movie doesn't even deserve a cinematic piece of crap. We got to come up with something.
Something new.
Something new.
You know what? Maybe that will be the poll question on Spotify. Like, what should our new badge be that's even worse than
getting
a
an enema of the state?
Oh, okay. What did I say? Stop triggering me. I'm done. I just throw my headphones. All right. So I usually pick a Matthew Lillard movie because he's also an Aquarius and that's just kind of the vibe, but I'm not going to lie. This year I had a Matthew Lillard movie on my, you know, on my list and I just wasn't feeling it.
Wasn't feeling it.
Still love him.
Yeah.
You're still the best. But I was like, you know what? I really want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I actually had two movies picked out and I put up a poll on Instagram, on my personal Instagram.
Yeah.
And this is the one they chose. Mm-hmm. They chose Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I do. I feel like this is one that you either know it and you're like obsessed with it or you totally missed it.
You
like
missed this one.
Like Jake doesn't know this
one. It's easy to miss this one.
Excuse me, what do you mean?
It's good. I like it.
Okay, well,
yeah.
But what you just said was like mildly insulting.
I probably would have never watched it had I not, you know, watched it with you.
Had you not given birth to this angel
on my
to
own,
your left.
I would not have reached for it.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try to convince you otherwise because I think that this movie, there are some things that do not hold up. I do want to note it is from the 90s, but overall, still fucking still a hilarious lands. Movie. Yeah. So this is a 1998 romantic comedy, rated PG-13 though. And at first I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, really? Yeah. Cause usually when you are hitting me with a comedy and you go PG-13, I'm like, oh, where's the raunch? No, but it still had it.
Where's the raunch?
This has become somewhat of a cult classic. Mm-hmm. I still have my VHS tape that I have had since I was a kid and I'm going to keep beating that thing to death because I love it. The tagline is yesterday's history. Tomorrow's the future. Tonight's the party.
Woo!
I thought it was fitting for a birthday episode.
Yeah.
Remember, this movie does not have to be magical.
That's
and
correct.
This one is not, but I did find magic in it. So please bear with me, okay?
It will all make sense at the end.
It will all make sense.
So I love these ones.
I do too. Yeah. We did ask our patrons because we get requests a lot for movies that are not magical. And so we asked our patrons, like, do you like when we do that? And they were like, yes. Like, we like when
we
find the magic in non-magical movies.
And
so you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to do it more.
Do it. St. Elmo's Fire is the one that stands out. That was great.
Fucking
how you found a magical element.
10 out of 10. I'm going to do it again too. I just do St. Elmo's Fire every year.
Rob Lowe singing on the sweet, sweet sax.
With the dangly earring. I've never forgotten about it. All right. So this was written and directed by Deborah Kaplan and Harry Elfont. And here's your cast.
Okay.
This cast is so fucking good. Mm-hmm. If you like any 1990s, specifically late 90s, early 2000s movies, shows, pop culture, you will find those people in this movie.
Yeah.
It is like a fucking, you know, roster of just the best actors from
obviously,
that time period.
Minus Matty L.
Okay, well, you know what?
He was over there making cheese all that.
I was going to say, why'd you have to say that? Now I feel bad. I feel like I'm cheating on Matthew Lillard.
Don't do that to me.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Ethan Embry, or as we have called him before, Ethan Embryo, a shirt will be coming.
That's a good mashup.
What does that look like? I don't know. We'll figure it out. He is Preston Myers. I love Ethan Embry.
I do too.
I think he's just one of the best actors from that time period.
That Thing You Do is his best work.
When he's hopping over the thing. Stop. We have Lauren Ambrose as Denise Fleming. And I also love her.
Yeah.
If you like 6 Feet Under, she's Claire in 6 Feet Under. I think she's gorgeous. I think she's so cool in everything she's in. I'll just watch it because she's in it. Then we have Jennifer Love Hewitt as Amanda Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
J-Love.
Yes, J-Love. Okay. Lore knows her personally. I will say that she was good in this movie, but she kind of played the same character.
She did.
You could have plopped her from I Know What You Did Last Summer into this movie and you wouldn't have blinked an eye.
I think that is her modus operandi.
And you know what? It worked for her. So you know what? Who's mad? Not me. You have Seth Green.
I mean, there's the star right there.
I was going to say, so I was okay with not doing a Matty L movie because Seth Green was in this one and he is Kenny Fisher. And he is so funny in this movie.
Is
like
the one where he wears the goggles.
Oh my
all
God.
The time?
He has a set of goggles on his head and his hair is twisted in like those little rubber bands. And I cannot. We all knew someone that acted like Seth Green in this movie. So he's just 10 out of 10. We have Charlie Corsmo as William Lichter, So wow. fucking funny.
What a name.
So funny. Yeah. We have Peter Facinelli. I don't know if that's how you say that.
Facinelli.
He's Mike Dexter.
He's the jock, right?
He's the dumb jock. And yeah. let me tell you, he is Carlisle Cullen.
Yes.
Every time I watch Twilight, I'm like, hey, Papa Carlisle, where do I know you from? And this fucking
wow
movie. And he is such a douche
yes.
in this movie. Yes. And now every time I go to watch Twilight, I'm going to be like, ooh, I don't like you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I never made that connection, but I can see it as clear as day.
Once you figure yes. it out, you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Next up, Sean Patrick Thomas had the biggest crush
on
him.
Oh my gosh.
I love Sean Patrick Thomas. He is jock number two. I don't think I included who jock.
It's no name.
I don't think
jock number one.
Jock
you
number
didn't
two.
Make the list.
I don't think I included jock number one. You must not have stood out to
you
me.
Didn't make the cut.
I'm so sorry, because we have Freddie Rodriguez as jock number three, and I also had a big crush on. Oh I had a crush on pretty much everyone in the 90s.
And then that's another 6 Feet Under alum, right?
Yeah, so we're going to get to that
okay.
later. Like, this is one of those where, like, there are clueless people in here. Everyone
yeah.
was in 6 Feet Under. Like,
yeah.
again, every 90s thing
yeah.
had these people in
I
it.
I love it.
Next up, Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh,
do you see
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she is Yearbook Girl.
Yearbook.
That's a hard one to say. Yearbook Girl.
Yearbook.
She's just running around trying to get everyone to sign
yeah, an
her yearbook.
Job.
You know what? There's one of those in every one of these
Absolutely.
Like high school movies. And she's hilarious. And she's only in like one or two scenes and she steals the show. Mm. Then we have Chris Owen as Klepto Kid. Do you know who that is?
Chris Owen.
Uh-huh. He's the one from Angus.
The redhead.
The redhead.
Oh my God, I love him so much.
Laura loves this kid.
I love him.
So the thing about this movie is there are so many background characters, mm-hmm. and he's one of them. He does not say a word,
yeah.
and you just see him. He's called Klepto Kid because you just see him stealing stuff in random scenes in this movie. But again, he stands out. Like
yeah.
all of these little characters who maybe don't even say anything.
Yeah.
are so funny.
They steal the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you have Michelle Brookhurst as Girl Whose Party It Is. And I had to bring her up because, again, she's fucking hilarious.
It's so funny. They don't even get names.
They don't even get names. Here's how many. So I just had to include the other cameos
yeah.
because there were so many so, I could not list. Are
yeah,
you ready?
Yeah.
Jason Segel.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And this was his film debut. And
wow.
the whole time he is sexually licking a watermelon.
Mm.
I was kind of like, what are you doing there? No, I'm just
weird.
Yeah, he was caressing it. I don't know. Go watch the movie. Then we have Donald Faison. I don't know if
Faison.
That's how, is that how you say
yeah.
his name?
Uh-huh.
Again, from
Clueless,
Scrubs, hilarious.
Yeah.
Then you have Jamie Presley.
Oh yeah.
She's so funny.
Uh-huh.
Breckin Meyer.
Also from Clueless.
Also from Clueless.
Love him.
Jerry O'Connell.
Cherry
flavored
pez.
We love Jerry O'Connell. Eric Balfour.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
he's
from 6 Feet
from
Under.
From 6 Feet
yeah.
Under. Marisol Nichols,
mm-hmm.
who is in Riverdale, but she was also in Vegas Vacation
with Ethan Embry.
So this, again, where's Alice Piazecki with the chart? I need to write everyone down. Clea DuVall.
Love her.
Pops up.
Well, you know, that's funny you said that because when you said Lauren Ambrose, I was thinking she's all that and Clea DuVall's character in that.
Very
yes,
kind of similar.
Yes.
Then you have Leslie Grossman.
Leslie Grossman.
She's in a lot of the American Horror stories. She's very funny.
Okay.
Selma Blair.
Oh my goodness.
Pops up. And then you have Amber Benson.
Oh, from Buffy.
So again, I mean,
wow.
this cast, if
Stellar.
You like this era, go watch this movie just to see who you can spot.
Yeah.
Because Amber Benson is in like one scene.
Oh my goodness.
And I think she's like supposed to be high and she's staring at a banana. So very me. Okay. Again, I do want to say that this movie is from the 90s. So as per usual with these movies, there is some stuff that you're going to be like, ooh, don't like
Yikes.
That. Some stuff does not pass the vibe check,
yeah.
just so you know. Are you ready for the rundown?
I'm so ready.
This is one of those movies where there's a lot happening
yeah.
because there's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
So again, stay with me.
I think that was your longest character list ever.
Do you see like so many huge
good cameos.
Actors though? All right, here's your rundown. We open in 1998 at Huntington Hillside High.
Hmm.
It's their graduation.
Oh, right.
It's their high school graduation. As the kids are getting ready to turn their tassels, we hear some whispers about a big party happening later that
Ooh.
Night. Of course. And B, the messy breakup of the two most popular kids in school, Mike Dexter and Amanda Beckett. Mm-hmm. Papa Carlisle and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
There you go.
Okay. Cut to cute but awkward Preston Myers. Mm. Ethan Embry, like, even if he doesn't mean to be, he's just so, like, quirky. Right? He really is.
He really is.
He has been waiting for this news about the breakup mm-hmm. his entire high school career mm-hmm. because he is madly in love with Amanda.
This is his moment. I can see it coming.
And he sees this party as fate nudging them together. This is when he's going to make his move.
Yikes.
So what I do like is
awkward.
Yeah, we see where this is going. As we meet the main characters, there's like little yearbook type entries that pop up that give you some information about that. I really do love it. Like their name, their activities, their future plans and quotes. Okay. Yeah. Preston is like a writer. Uh-huh. I think he's going to, I don't know, NYU or something, whatever. Yeah. And his quote was like Kurt Vonnegut. Okay. You see where we're at. Preston insists that his antisocial outcast best friend, Denise, mm-hmm. her activities, none. She's very me. I just,
I do not participate.
I am not a joiner. But like, she's like so sweet, but she's just like, also go fuck yourself at the same time. Preston wants her to come to the party with him mm-hmm. and she reluctantly agrees because they're best buddies.
BFFs.
So now on to Mike Dexter, mm-hmm. his quote, just win, baby. Just win. He's a classic jock. Meathead, my autocorrect said meatball. Say classic meatball.
Either or.
Either. I do love a meatball. Who is convincing his classic jock friends, mm-hmm. numbers 1, 2, and 3, apparently,
of course.
To also break up with their lame ass girlfriends, his quote, not mine, because there's no way they're hotter than the college women they're all about to meet after graduation.
There you go. Of course.
My eyes, every time he was on screen, I was go away.
Yeah.
All right. Cut to William Lichter. Mm-hmm. He's a valedictorian, smart as hell. He's heading to Harvard. Yeah. His list of, you know, extracurriculars was just
the whole page.
He plans to finally get his revenge on ass bag Mike Dexter mm-hmm. after years of torture.
Bullying.
Yes. He's the smart kid. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the jock's got a pick on him. Yeah. Classic. William goes through a bunch of examples of said torture. I had to write this down. I was laughing so hard. He goes, Exhibit B, an eye patch I wore for a month after Mike beamed me with a raisin in home ec. My parents took me to a 3D film festival. I saw no third dimension.
Neither does anybody else.
He is so funny, this actor. Like, I just got to give you your props because he was making me fucking cackle the whole time. All right, so tonight at this big party, William will finally fight back with the help of his two friends who are wearing shirts that read, trust no one, and the truth is out there. They're obsessed with the X-Files. They name drop David Duchovny at one point. It's me and Jake. 10 out of 10. Like, if you want to know what it's like to hang out with me and Jake, go watch these two. So they have a whole plan that involves homemade chloroform because they're like really smart. They're like, we whipped this up in the science lab.
Yeah.
So they've got this whole thing planned out. All right. Now on to Kenny Fisher. This is Seth Green.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I just had a vision of a picture of you from Forks, Washington with Papa Carlisle's.
Oh, I know.
Lab coat.
Yeah, we're connecting a lot.
This is where my brain goes. I'm like, where's the lab coat? They're sciencey. They're making chloroform. Papa Carlisle, we're in Forks, Washington.
You know what?
Oh my gosh.
If you kept up with what she just said,
that's what our brains
look like. Have yourself a cookie because. All right, so Kenny Fisher, Seth Green.
Yeah.
His quote, picture me rolling. Oh my God. He has his own plan for the evening.
Yeah.
To finally have sex with literally anyone. He's just trying to have sex.
I'm not picky.
He's not picky. He has never had sex before, and it's about time.
And tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night, and he's even coming prepared with a love kit, he called it, which is a backpack full of, like, sex toys, scented candles. I think I saw a feather in there.
Condoms.
You know what? If you would whip that out, I'd be like, okay, hold on. First of all, I'm impressed. But second of all, ew. Again, with his outfit, his ensemble, I don't even know if
the chances of him getting lucky, not good.
Slim to none, my guy. Slim to none. But also, why was I like, it's Seth Green. So I was like, you're so cute.
I mean, okay. Right?
All right, so now it's time for the party.
Yeah.
Preston and Denise pull up, mm-hmm. and Preston reveals that his plan is to finally give Amanda a very heartfelt letter that he wrote years ago. Again, wow. He's a writer. He's a hopeless romantic.
Mm-hmm. Enough said.
Enough said. As they're sitting in the car, Preston turns on the radio and is graced with Barry Manilow's Mandy. Oh, Mandy. Do you want to sing it to me?
You came without me. I don't know all the words.
Laura was a fan of Lowe.
I was a fan of
Lowe. You just disappointed fan of Lowe's ever. You couldn't Everywhere. Even give me the tune.
I had the beach towel. I had everything on the Barry Manilow website. Every tchotchke.
All I could think of.
That bore my love of tchotchkes, maybe.
Barry Manilow, thank you for that.
All man, I used to think I was the coolest thing since sliced bread when I'd pull up in my beach towel. And you know what? Everybody was laughing.
I was going to say, girl.
And you know what? They all had the Bee Gees posters hanging up and the Andy Gibbs. And here I am and my Barry Manilow
with your Manilow? You chose Manilow?
I was a laughing stock. I was a laughing stock.
You chose Manilow over the Robin Gibb?
Right.
You know what? Shame.
I'm a laughing stock.
Shame on you and your bloodline, which is me. Self-burn.
Well, you know, you carried that torch for a long time.
I do have my Bee Gees lunchbox to, you know, right that wrong. So Preston takes hearing this Mandy song as a sign,
it's a sign.
From fate. Mm-hmm. Fate themselves.
Yeah.
Because Amanda... Mandy, a little bit of a stretch there, guy, but you know what? We'll give it to you.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So the party is as you would expect mm-hmm. if you've ever seen one of these movies.
Kegger!
Yes, everyone's getting wild and
jumping off the roofs. I know.
You know what? I will say I did respect that they had all of the car keys in like a fishbowl. Oh, and I was like, wow, how responsible.
I think you usually see that in those 90s movies because that would be really irresponsible.
Yeah, so
to I was, not do that.
You know what? I was shocked then because I was like, were we that responsible?
Of course not.
Okay. So you know what? They like to make us think that we were.
Filmmakers were trying not to, you know,
I was
to take on any culpability.
I was like 4 when this movie came out. I don't know who. I'm like, we. We as the 90s.
We were telling you to go party and jump off roofs, but be responsible, and put your car keys in a bowl.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone's getting wild.
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny is on the prowl with his goggles.
Melissa. His sex kit.
Melissa Joan Hart is still trying to get every senior to sign her yearbook. And there's even a band playing and their name is Love Burger. I'm not going to go into their storyline because it is like a side note, but fucking hilarious. They're so funny.
Love Burger.
They're all like, can we wear our own band t-shirts? No, that's lame. And I was like, I've had that conversation before. Like, is it lame
to wear your own band t-shirt?
Like maybe like,
I mean,
as I'm wearing an Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet sweatshirt right now. So,
I mean, I feel like you have to, you know, if you're not going to shout from the rooftops and praise yourself, sing your praises. I mean, who else is going to,
you know what, Lore? TM,
right?
TM. Okay.
Those are words of wisdom.
Those are words
of wisdom.
So we're finally introduced to the infamous Amanda. Up until this point, you have not like seen her, which I did kind of like.
Does she come in a slow-mo roll with her hair flipping in the wind?
I can sing the song that she walks into. She's like, her hair is just quaffly blowing in the breeze.
It just said.
Can your hair quaffly blow?
I don't think so.
It's just quaffed.
But you know what?
It had a lot of volume. And a lot of hairspray.
A lot of Aquanet.
A lot of hairspray. No one light a fire around her. She will go up in a flame.
Oh,
but yeah, she like slowly walks
Saunters
in. She's
in.
Like, she does her Jennifer Love Hewitt thing.
Of course.
Everyone stops what they're doing to look. But she looks rather uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Intentionally.
Right.
Okay, she kind of doesn't want the attention.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so William and his henchmen.
Yeah.
All right, their plan is in place. But it starts to go awry when William accidentally gets a bit intoxicated.
Oh, no.
He has like a card in his pocket that mm-hmm. scientifically tells him how much he can drink without like losing his faculties. Because again, he's like the nerd and he miscalculated because he's never drank before and he gets tanked like right off the bat. Yeah.
Two swigs in.
And he's like fucking, but he like turns into the life of the party. At one point, he sings a really kick-ass version of Paradise City.
Love it.
And when I was a kid, I thought he was like the coolest in this scene. I was like, fuck yeah, William, go.
Liam's like, that would be me.
It would so be me. One sip of alcohol and I'm like, take me down. Oh, shit. Anyway, Kenny and Denise end up locked in a bathroom together. They're my favorite storyline. Kenny was trying to freshen up and practice some sex moves. He's like humping the air. Seth Green, I love you.
Oh, my goodness.
And Denise was simply trying to hide from people, because she's so antisocial. And someone smashed a pot brownie on her face. And so she's trying to get it off. She's not having a good time.
I thought you said she was, trying to eat the crumbs, but apparently not.
No, she was like, get me the fuck out of here, please. So Preston keeps trying to get to Amanda all night, okay? But so is literally every other guy who has heard about her breakup, right? She's the most popular girl in school.
She's on the market.
So she's slowly getting more aggravated at even the sight of a man.
Yeah.
Laura knows the feeling.
Yeah.
Laura's like, why don't I have a man? And a man approaches her. Ew, get the fuck away from me. Preston, at this point, he's getting a little discouraged. Okay. And he throws away his love letter. He's like, fuck this. And he hops in his car only for the radio to rub it in his face again with songs like Love Hurts by Nazareth. Give it to me.
Love hurts.
Ooh, love hurts. That was actually really good.
Pretty good.
And once again, Mandy.
Call us. We'll do your wedding.
Can you fucking imagine us if we pull up to your wedding and we're the band?
Ooh. Yeah, like on,
we would be Steve Buscemi and the wedding singer. 100%. I knew where you were going.
That's exactly,
I know. Because it's accurate. It's accurate. And again, he hears Mandy from Barry Manilow because they're playing it every hour on the hour to celebrate Manilow's birthday.
Manilow
the Fanilow. So he's being tortured by the song Mandy, which again, he takes as a sign.
Right.
So as he's trying to call the radio station to hopefully talk to Barry Manilow himself.
Get some advice.
He's like, please. Preston meets a woman in an angel costume. She's a dancer. So she's dressed in like a sexy angel costume. Who gives him a chat about fate. Again, another sign in Preston's eyes. But unbeknownst to Preston, Amanda finds his letter in a bowl of Chex Mix. I had to rewind. I was like, was that chips or was that Chex Mix?
Chex Mix.
And I saw the little bagel chips that we all say we don't like, but we do. It was Chex Mix.
That's the last grab go.
No, that's what I grab first.
The bagel bites?
Yeah, like the little brown bagel chips?
No.
That's what I'm saying. You're lying, though, because they're good. They're really seasoned. What do you mean?
It's the Chex. You know, back in my day.
You know what I don't like?
The breadstick.
Bland.
No seasoning. You know, back in my day, you made your own Chex Mix. There wasn't any Chex Mix in a bag.
Lord, go to a store.
No, there weren't. You made your own Chex Mix. Then they were like, hey, it's a good marketing tip. Let's put this shit in a bag and sell this shit.
Back in my day, we didn't even have name brand checks
and the pretzels and the bagel bites, and those weren't even a thing.
I'm gonna pee my pants. It's gonna happen. Or poop my pants. There's a first poop joke. Oh, shit. All right. When Amanda finds this letter in the Chex Mix, she's like, wow, somebody finally sees me for who I am. Not just this popular girl.
Wow.
He's speaking to my soul.
Oh, of course. But I'm in love.
But she doesn't know who Preston is, which is mildly insulting because he's been sitting next to her for
the And kind of the problem. I mean, that's the, I mean,
kind
that's
of the point, right? He has been sitting next to her for the last 4 years of their high school career. And she's like, who?
Somebody finally sees me.
Who is it?
Although I don't see them.
Yeah,
they're not popular.
Ain't that a slice of the old dick pie? All right.
Heading down Hershey Highway.
You know what? Top notch. That was a good poop joke. He might take the cake for that one. All right. Meanwhile, Kenny and Denise, who again are locked in the bathroom together.
Does he have a sex kit?
He does have a sex kit. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? She's so blunt. She's like, guy, give it up. They used to be really close friends. Mm. This is why I like their storyline. And she's like, yeah, you ditched me when you tried to like do whatever the hell you're doing here. Yeah. And so they start to kind of like make amends a little bit. Mm-hmm. They let their guard down and they actually connect with each other in the bathroom. They really connect, if you know what I'm saying. They eventually
use that sex kit.
And you know what I was thinking? This shows my age. I was like, you're laying your head on a stranger's bathroom floor. There's pee on there.
Or poop.
Someone could have had an enema in the bathroom. And you don't even know. But like, ew. If it's my own bathroom, I know what went down in there.
It just reminds me of her. You, a couple of weeks ago, you're like, I just read something that said, do you know the amount of germs around the toilet?
Yeah, like close the lid when you flush. Please. Ew. Yeah, that makes this scene a lot less sexy and cute. But sorry to ruin it for everyone. So things are not going as great for Mike Dexter, the popular guy.
Right.
All right. Who's realized he's kind of a fucking immature nightmare. Mm-hmm. He's a loser who's definitely going to peak in high school.
Yeah.
Which is reinforced when Amanda denies his public plea to get back together.
Ah, nice.
And he's finally the one humiliated.
I've been trying to get rid of your ass for 3 years.
She's like, boy, get the fuck out of here.
Get out.
And ew, his whole speech, ew, it makes me feel icky. Because he's just like, you don't want to take me back? And I'm like, oh, buddy. Papa Carlisle, pack it up. Go back to Forks. So a drunk William, after his Paradise City performance, sees this as his chance to finally humiliate
Mike. Take him down a couple notches.
Because he's already kind of been taken down, right? But the two end up connecting drunkenly after Mike apologizes. There's like a little heartwarming moment. Yeah. It goes away quickly. Don't, get your hopes up too much. Preston arrives back at the party after the angel kind of showed him,
showed him the light.
Showed him fate is still, yes. And he finally makes his move on Amanda.
Well, it's about damn time.
But it does not go well because, again, she does not realize he's the one who wrote the letter. And she thinks he's just another guy trying to, like, move in and be a sleaze right when she just broke up.
She's not like, you know what?
You're pathetic. And I'm like, oh, I know. Wow. She rips into him and I did shed a tear. I was like, oh, that's really, this hurts. This hurts a little bit. But later she realizes, oh, fuck. Because she gets the bright idea.
I'm done fucked up.
She gets the bright idea to look in Melissa Joan Hart's yearbook.
And compare the lighting.
And find
the lighting.
Who is Preston?
Handwriting analysis.
Yes, thank you. Well, no, she.
I can conclude.
She flips to find Preston's name because it was written on the letter.
There's only one Preston in the entire yearbook.
Yeah, like probably. Is that a common name, Laura?
I mean.
It's not like it's fucking John.
Maybe in that town it was.
Laura's got attitude. I'm not sure why. Okay, so the party gets busted up by the cops. Classic.
Yeah.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
Kenny and Denise become a cute little thing. There's a scene at the end where she is like telling Preston that they got together and she looks back at Seth Green. He's sitting in a cafe and he has whipped cream all over his nose. He's like, hi. Oh, I love him so much. Mike and William get arrested, but douchebag Mike takes the fall.
Oh, nice.
So that William doesn't get in trouble with his parents.
Because he's a genius. He's going to Harvard or something.
He's going to Harvard. And again, this is, out of character for him.
Mike's so not Mike going takes anywhere the fall. But the end of the bar stool.
Mike, you're finding your way right into the shitter. There it is. And Preston and Amanda finally come face to face at the train station and they share a little smooch. Now, I will say I hate on-screen kisses. I think that usually you could tell that the people don't want to kiss and that they're awkward. This one was kind of cute.
Was it?
It was very romantic. Anyway, the end.
That made it even more so.
You're welcome. The end gives us a rundown on where our characters end up. Okay. Yeah. And I'm taking this directly from the film.
Okay.
William became one of the most popular students at Harvard.
Of course.
It's called Charisma. Look it up. He formed his own computer company that has made him worth millions.
Paradise City.
Yes, exactly.
Is that what it is? Was I right?
They recorded him singing that at the party. And no, he, and he has been dating a supermodel.
Of course.
So he's, he's doing just fine. Mike went to college, but after drinking too much, lost his football scholarship. Okay. Damn. Who didn't see that coming? Mm-hmm. He ended up 40 pounds overweight and working at a car wash.
Damn.
A job he lost when incriminating Polaroids surfaced. And you will get that if you watch the movie.
He's working with Walter White.
That's the first thing I thought of too. Anytime I pass a car wash, I'm like, are you laundering money in there? The day after the party, Denise and Kenny went to a diner, hence the whipped cream on the nose.
Of course.
5 minutes later, Denise dumped Kenny because they kind of annoy each other.
No.
But 10 minutes later, they found yet another bathroom and got together. Got back together. Maybe let's try somewhere other than the bathroom. The bathroom. Or don't.
Ooh, I mean, a diner bathroom.
Stop it, Laura. Stop.
Oh, you stop. That's it just made my stomach do some flip-flops.
You stop it right now. 7 hours later, Preston finally boarded a train to Boston. Remember, he was supposed to go to Boston, but then she rushed to the blah, blah, blah. Amanda wrote him a letter for every day that he was away.
Of course.
And they are still together.
Oh, lovely.
And William's two X-File loving friends are abducted by aliens. That's the last thing you see. And I absolutely love it. They look up and they're like, hey, finally get me out of here. And scene.
Cut.
That's a movie.
That is cute.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It like, again, some of it didn't hold up. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I was like, wow, this is just a funny fucking movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, but as you were telling it, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember the Paradise City. Yeah.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. There are so many little like side stories that I didn't even get to that are just, oh my God. Mwah.
Love it.
And we've all, you know, I don't know how old you are, but most of us have graduated high school by this point. And this is kind of like what it feels like when you're about to close that chapter and move on to the next.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what the fuck is my lesson?
What the heck is it?
Again, it's my birthday. I didn't have to do a lesson.
That's right.
But I saw
an opportunity.
Yes. I'm going to talk about Shufflemancy.
Whoa,
I bet you don't know what that is.
Shufflemancy?
Yes.
I knew
you were going to say that to me. All right. So Preston speaks a lot about fate, which I was like, we could have talked about that, but we've already discussed that many times. But he also, at least kind of... uses music divination. You heard what I said about Barry Manilow, Mandy, The Love Hurts.
Yes.
And this is something that pops up in rom-coms a lot. Like they'll turn on the radio and the song will apply to their exact situation.
I think Serendipity is a great example of
that. That's a really, Sarah,
smile.
Yes, exactly. You'll see that a lot.
She's
so you know
gone.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can't bring up Hall & Oates without me hitting a note or two.
So ooh, trouble for Hall & Oates.
Yes. Yeah. Look into
what
that.
A bummer. What a bummer.
One is suing the other, and we all know.
Did I hear a restraining order was in effect?
Probably.
My
and
goodness.
We all know who it is.
We all know who it is.
We all know who it is. Go look it up.
It's not right. Oates.
We all knew it wasn't Oates. Not my Oates. Hashtag not my Oates. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you the definition of divination. This is like my favorite thing to talk about is divination. Because that's, I feel like the kind of witch I am.
Yeah.
This is the practice of determining the hidden significance or cause of events, sometimes foretelling the future by various natural, psychological, supernatural, or other techniques. My favorite. You have a question, divination is going to help you find
it. Divination has an answer.
So then I'm going to give you the definition of canticomancy. I said
it
wrong.
The word can't.
The word come is in there. So I keep getting distracted and I don't know how to say it. You know what? Look it up.
Okay.
This is the divination using music and lyrics. And so there's not a lot of information on this because I think it is maybe kind of like new. It's a little more modern. But I believe canticomancy. Or however you say it, is the more like general term.
Okay.
And then shufflemancy, which is what I want to talk about, is under the umbrella of that. And this is a specific type of music divination.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So shufflemancy is a more modern form of divination that involves shuffling music from a playlist to find the answers you're looking for.
Oh my gosh, that's interesting.
Isn't this fun? And this, the reason I wanted to do this here is because this soundtrack, I'll get to it in a minute, but
killer.
It's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
So unlike some forms of divination, this requires no deep knowledge of the tool or extensive practice.
Right.
So think like tarot, runes. You kind of have to know about the tool.
Right.
This is anyone's game.
Rando.
Anyone can do it. So instead you move mainly off of intuition. So this is a good form of divination for just about anyone, especially if you're just starting out.
Yeah.
Or if you feel very connected to music, mm-hmm. I would look into this. Mm-hmm. So here is what you do. It's kind of simple.
Hit shuffle.
Okay, yeah. Laura, how'd you
ask your question and hit shuffle?
Okay, you know what? Fuck you. Let me explain it. Step one, make a specific Shufflemancy playlist.
Oh.
Or you can use one you've already created. Some people say to use only songs that hold a special meaning to you. I completely disagree. Hmm. Almost entirely, I feel like that's going to get you the same answer.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. I personally would just make sure that whatever playlist you're using or the one you make covers various vibes and has a decent amount of songs. Okay. So different genres, different moods, different tones.
Yeah.
So that you're not getting the same answer over and over
like
again.
Like a magic eight ball.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Step two.
Yeah.
Focus on your question. Mm-hmm. This is always a part of divination, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
This could be general, could be more specific. Mm. I would say that yes or no, like strictly yes or no questions might be a little tricky here, but you could give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know what? Give it a try.
A generalization.
Yeah. Like what direction do I go or am I moving in the right? You know, I don't know. A little more.
Left turn, Clyde.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Some write their question or intention down. And some just focus on it. Dealer's choice, up to you. Mm-hmm. Step three, choose a number. And you can do this however you want. You can roll a dice. You can pick from a deck of cards. You can use a number randomizer. Yeah. You can ask someone to pick a number for you. Think of one yourself. Literally, however you choose to find a number.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Love it.
Step four, once you have that number, shuffle your playlist that many times or skip songs that many times.
Oh.
But make sure you're focusing on your question or intention while you're doing so. So example, if 18 is my number, I will stop on the 18th shuffle and whatever song it lands on, that is going to contain my answer.
Ooh, interesting.
I like this.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of our listeners will like this. We've got a lot of playlist makers in our midst.
Yes.
Yes. So the song that plays on that shuffle contains your answer somewhere. This could be in the music, in the title, in the lyrics,
the lyrics,
in the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's going to get a little like you have to interpret, which is step five. So this is where it could get tricky depending on where you're at in your intuition or divination journey. Mm-hmm. Interpreting is kind of the tricky part.
Right.
But how does it make you feel?
It always says what I want it to say.
Yeah. How does the song make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a specific memory tied to this song?
Mm.
Are the lyrics literally spelling out your answer?
Yes.
Okay. That could be the case. What is the artist's story? Maybe your answer lies with the musician. Look at the album or cover art. What do you see? So don't take it so literally, you know what I mean? It might not spell out the answer for you. You might have to interpret everything about that song, even the instrumentals. Maybe the song doesn't have lyrics.
Oh my gosh. You know, it would be difficult.
What?
As if your song landed on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Looking at that album cover art. Holy shit.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What?
Like you know what? I went Bee Gees. And I thought, get a new hairdo because
tomorrow, girl, tomorrow.
Cheers to that. The first thing I think of is coiffed hair when I think of the Bee Gees and Sgt. Pepper.
And funky gold medallions.
Funky gold medallions. So at the end of the day, music is all about how it makes you feel, right? So maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
How am I feeling when I'm listening to this song, and then go from there. Write down what stands out to you, and not before long, your answer will be found.
Interesting.
Ooh, I love this.
Dude, this is fun.
So that's about it. It's pretty easy. Again, anyone
can
do this.
That's a really good, you know, beginning type thing, and anybody could do it.
Anyone can do it. As a little treat for you all to get you started, just for fun, okay? Because this could be like as serious or unserious as you want it to be, but I'm going to get you started for fun. I made a playlist of songs all from the year 1998 when this movie came out.
Okay.
I will be using some of the songs from the soundtrack because again, it was fucking so good. And you can use this playlist if you would like to start your Shufflemancy journey.
I love it.
I take my playlists very seriously.
Yes, you do.
I don't just choose songs willy-nilly. All right.
You sure don't.
You know what? This is going to be fun. You can find this playlist on Patreon. I will make this one available for even the free tiers so that you can kind of dip your toe in. I love it. Isn't that exciting?
That's fun and exciting.
I was very excited about this lesson.
I know you were like, I'm not telling you.
Laura asked me what my lesson was and I was like, don't even fucking ask me.
Yeah.
I'm saving it.
Not telling you.
So you know what? Happy divinating.
Divinating?
I don't know. You know what? Do your thing and let us know what happens.
Yeah, fun.
So fun.
Ooh.
I have so many playlists and I feel like I'm actually going to try to use this because like Preston does, I've used the radio before.
Oh,
you could do that too. That's kind of a different thing. But yeah, I don't know. Music is a form of divination. I like that.
I like that too.
Yes.
Fun.
There's my lesson. I do have a fuck ton of fun and random facts.
All right.
Because again, this movie was a biggie.
Okay.
The title of this film is a reference to a song by the same name from rock band, The Replacements.
Ooh.
I do like The Replacements. Mm-hmm. The movie's original title was The Party.
No.
I don't like that as much.
You know, it just doesn't land.
Can't Hardly Wait almost doesn't make sense. But you know what? Yeah, I don't care.
I feel like it does in this movie.
I feel like it does.
It was a good fit.
Because
the party?
Trash. No. The writers were in part inspired by the party scene from 1989's Say Anything.
Uh-huh.
And that is so interesting because every single time I watch this movie, it reminds me of Say Anything.
Mm.
Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think of her singing Joe. And I think they all put their keys in
They do.
They do.
Because, John Cusack is like, and I think it's Eric... The guy, what's his name? Eric Stoltz.
Is it really?
Is in that.
Oh my gosh.
I think
he's
either having the party or he's the last one with the keys. But I mean, hey, that's a good time because you see Jeremy Piven with hair.
Oh my God. Do you really?
In Say Anything? He might be jock number two.
He's in Say Anything?
Yeah, him and
Why
John Cusack used to be really good friends.
Oh my, you're like used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting when I read that because I picked up on that.
Yeah, so cool. Joe.
The script was changed last minute from R to PG-13 and a lot of party hard scenes were cut. Apparently there was a character that was so drunk that they had to give her subtitles.
Oh my.
And I think that's hilarious. I really wish that would have been in there.
That's funny.
So funny. Scream was released shortly before this in 1996.
Hmm.
And its massive success spiked a demand for teen films.
Ah.
Thus giving this one a bigger budget than they intended. I think it was going to be an independent film and then someone picked it
up. Wow, nice.
Yeah. Hence the cast, probably.
Oh my gosh, what a great cast.
Ethan Embry has said that he doesn't really remember filming this movie because he was super stoned the entire time. You know what? I couldn't tell. You know what? 10 out of 10 on your acting
job. He always looks super stoned.
Maybe he does.
Yeah, he always does. Maybe not in The Walking Dead when he gets his face bitten off, but...
Lore, spoiler.
Ooh, bummer.
You know what?
I mean, if you haven't seen The Walking Dead yet, holy heck, that was like 10 seasons ago.
You know what? True. he supposedly has never seen this movie the whole way through.
Wow.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt gave him a teddy bear full of breath mints before their big kissing scene at the end there because he smoked so much weed that he smelled like weed. He smelled like a skunk. And she was like, maybe try a breath mint.
Wow.
I mean,
mildly
not just
insulting. One, apparently 200
a teddy bear full. You know what? The message was read loud
Here's
and clear.
Banaca.
J-Love. You know what? Why don't you just get on my level and then we don't have to worry about this. That's what I would have said.
That's hilarious.
I'm mildly insulted for him. Anyway.
He's like, you know what? I'm not going to eat this breath mint and I'm going to
smoke even more weed and not even remember where the fuck
I am.
Give
me a lip lock, Jenny Lowe.
It was a cute kiss though, so joke's on you. All right. The film takes place on June 17th, 1998, which was Barry Manilow's 55th birthday. I love that.
Somebody else is a fan of Lowe.
Yeah, who was a fan of Lowe here? Some 90s, early 2000s things that I spotted.
Mm-hmm.
A cootie catcher. You remember those? Mm-hmm. A Game Boy. A Walkman cassette player.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, lots of cargo shorts. Good thing we left those back there. And you know what? The Whimsigoth aesthetic, which has now come back around, was very, you could spot it here. And I did see a wallet chain. Do you remember those?
Yes. I occasionally see those now and then.
I wore one. I did for many years.
With your Jenko jeans.
Oh boy. I was a poster child for this era.
And your Amy Brown.
Amy Brown. Picture this. Amy Brown shirt, Jenko jeans, Velcro wallet on a chain.
And your Betty Page.
Betty Page shoelaces. I had it going on. At least I thought I did. There were four cast members who appeared in 6 Feet Under. Lauren Ambrose.
Yes.
Freddie Rodriguez.
Yes.
Peter Facinelli was apparently in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Eric Balfour.
Oh, fun.
And a fuck ton of them appeared in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah. I did want to note, again, this is kind of
Seth
like,
Green.
I think I saw someone from Bring It On in there. Mm. This is all, but Amber Benson, Seth Green, and a ton of others were in Buffy.
Like cameo.
Yes. There you go.
Interesting.
Charlie Corsmo was studying physics at MIT when he was offered this role. So very fitting for him and his character. Again, he was almost the best part of this film.
My gosh.
He really was. Melissa Joan Hart was filming the second season of Sabrina the Teenage Witch at the same time as this.
Wow.
And she needed to take B12 vitamins to stay energized because she was doing a lot of night shifts.
Same girl. I got patches.
Okay. Do you want me to hook you up with a B12 patch?
I got a B. Call me.
I got the hookup. This movie is loosely based on Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania.
What?
Which is near Philadelphia. I had to look it up.
Okay.
And the high school where one of the directors grew up.
That's hilarious.
And the yearbook that Melissa Joan Hart uses in the movie is actually from a Philadelphia area high school named Plymouth White Marsh.
Whoa.
It's like the actual yearbook.
Yeah.
So you know what? Go spot your teacher in that yearbook.
In the yearbook.
All right. Seth Green, Brecken Meyer, and two other cast members from this film would later appear together in 2001's Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh my gosh.
That movie was so bad, but so good.
Yeah. I think you cover that? You covered that.
No.
No.
But I will.
No.
One
don't
day
give me,
I will.
Give me that next year for your birthday.
I will. Speaking of Brecken Meyer, him and writer Debbie Kaplan dated during filming and eventually married.
Oh.
I don't think they're together anymore.
Bummer.
But they have two daughters together.
Dollars.
$2.
They got $2 to buy $2 to rub between them.
It's been a long week. Two daughters together. At one point, Jerry O'Connell lets out a big burp, and it was real. A man after my own heart. Because it was a pretty impressive burp. When I read that, I was like, really?
Good one.
How'd you do that?
Yeah.
Also real was the complete destruction of the house at the end of the party. The directors gave the cast thumbs up to completely trash the place, and they achieved that goal in 1 hour.
Holy shit.
Can you imagine just being like told, yeah, fucking, I would let out so much rage. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
The items Klepto Kid steals throughout the film are as follows. I thought this was funny as hell. A small statue from the party.
Okay.
A Love Burger t-shirt from the band.
Home of the Good Burger.
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
A police car. And at the very end, which is my favorite, a gumball machine.
Oh, a gumball machine.
He just picks it up and walks
just takes
out.
It.
Hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Last but not least, the writers, directors, and casts have talked about getting the gang back together for a sequel or some type of reunion.
Oh my gosh.
That's love that.
30 years later.
Well, because again, they all went on to have like these really cool careers.
Yeah.
So to see all of these people in one room now would be really cool.
That would be cool.
Right?
Yeah.
So
Seth Green is still adorable.
You know what? All of them, this cast, all of them are just like the cutest bunch, I think. So you know what? Here's to hoping that happens. Cheers.
Awesome.
And that is Can't Hardly Wait. Thank you and good night.
That was good.
Thank you. Did I like change your mind a little bit on the movie?
I mean, it just was never one that I would go for. But then again, I was an adult when it came out. So, you know what I mean? I enjoyed watching it with you. Yeah,
I feel
for
like
sure.
If you grew up in the early 2000s, this movie really is a time capsule, but not in a cheesy way.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like overdoing it. Mm-hmm. It was just like the style is exactly what I remember people dressing like. The music was spot on. Yeah. I just 10 out of 10. Well,
it's interesting that you said it was very comparable to She's or Say Anything, because that is more my
my
era.
So this is my era. Say Anything. Yeah. Okay, cute.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Go watch it. It's worth it.
All right, cool. All right, that means I'm up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, feel free to, I don't know.
Laura wants you to skip past her segment entirely because she's so mad over my film choice.
Oh my God.
I can hear the pain in her voice.
You chose for me, and I don't even know where you pulled this out of.
I'll tell you.
My favorite Martian. Mm-hmm.
I had this movie on VHS and I used to watch it all the time. Oh, I was obsessed with this movie, even though I know it's bad. That's where it came from.
So bad. This one actually hurt. I am actually like, I need my 2 hours back.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm never going to get it.
Did I finally win?
I think you did. I think you did, but you
know
what?
Say uncle.
1999, February 12th, it came out.
Yeah.
Sci-fi comedy directed by Donald Petrie.
It's the dish.
It's a petri dish.
Science.
Yep. It's full of fungi and bacteria.
Lore. Thank you for that visual.
Based on the 1960s television series of the same name, which I actually have watched.
I didn't know that it was based on something else.
And it was starring Bill Bixby, who I absolutely love, and Ray Walston as the Martian. Mm-hmm. It was created, that series was created by John L. Green.
Okay.
The screenplay was written by Sherry Stoner, and she must have been, and Deanna Oliver. The budget was $65 million and only did 36.8 at the box office.
I don't think
this was indeed beyond a clinker.
This was beyond a clinker and beyond. Uh-huh. It was a cinematic piece of shite. Uh-huh.
Yeah. This was birthday torture. Thank you. That's okay. Cause you are getting Eat, Pray, Loved. I'm just laying it out there. I got stiffed last year.
If you Eat, Pray, Love me, I'm going to pest you.
You're getting, I don't care. You're getting Eat, Pray, Loved. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Tune in August. All right. It only got a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, that's pretty bad. That's one of the worst.
That is pretty bad. All right. Here's your cast.
Okay.
Yikes. Christopher Lloyd.
Okay. Yes.
His uncle Martin, the Martian.
Martin, the Martian. Little one knows.
He's like a dual role. Uncle Martin and the Martian.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Dual role. Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen it in quite some time.
I mean, like he's called Uncle Martin, but he's a Martian. Yes, you know what I mean? You get it. Yes. All right. Jeff Daniels is Tim O'Hara. Elizabeth Hurley.
There she is.
Grace Channing. I feel like anytime she pops up in a film, it's bad news.
You know what? Is that mean of us to say? I feel the same way.
Liz.
She usually marks a bad film.
Yeah, she's ruined some careers.
In the shitter.
Shitter's full. Daryl Hannah as Lizzie.
Okay.
Wallace Shawn as Dr. Elliot Coley.
Uh-huh.
Christina Ebersole as Mrs. Brown, Michael Lerner as Mr. Channing, and Ray Walston makes an appearance in this one. Although I feel like he is in it for literally 2.3 seconds.
And so maybe you wouldn't catch him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Wayne Knight as Zoot.
Mm-hmm.
And here's your plot.
Okay.
All right.
Why do I feel like an impending sense of doom?
Yeah, of course. We have men on Mars. They're on a rover mission, and it literally looks like somebody took a kid's toy and was going over some fake sand. I'm like, the movie magic is lacking here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Disney film?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yikes.
Back in Santa Barbara, and it looks like they were trying to stick around the 60s. Maybe it was the 80s. I don't know. They didn't say. You know what I mean?
Oh, they didn't put you. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe it was the 80s. Jeff Daniels as news producer Tim O'Hara makes his boss's daughter, reporter Brace Channing, who is Liz Hurley, look foolish. She says, "You wait until I tell Daddy."
Oh, who?
Good Lord. How old is she? Acting so bad.
You know my feelings on the use of the word daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know them.
Well, it wasn't looking good for old Timmy. He gets the sack.
Ooh.
So, of course, he has a crush on the beautiful Brace. You know.
But he just humiliated her.
Well, not purposefully.
Oh, okay, my bad.
She's not too bright. And so.
Oh, Lord.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not hard to do. Got
it. It's not hard to do. She kind of did herself, but she blamed it on him. You know what I mean?
I see.
But of course, his assistant, Lizzie, has a crush on him. So we see the love triangle.
Okay,
going on
there,
right? Later that night, as he's driving down Ventura Highway, no, it's probably not.
Okay.
He sees what appears to be a spacecraft. For some reason, Brace is driving behind him.
Are you saying Brace or Brace? Brace?
Brace.
Okay, Brace, like an arm brace.
Kind of an odd name.
We've come full circle.
We've come full circle.
Sling. I keep hearing arm sling, arm brace. Okay, got
sling.
It.
Sling. as he drags her to the beach, the gross red-looking Martian is hiding behind a rock.
I remember this.
Yes, and shrinks his ship to a toy size.
Okay.
Okay, Tim is perplexed and Brace is unimpressed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she thinks he's just trying to make some moves on her.
Okay.
Tim takes the toy home with him. The Martian behind the rock eats this gumball.
I knew gumballs were involved.
And gives himself a human body.
Okay.
In the shape of Christopher Lloyd, of course.
You know what? If I could choose.
You know what? He just sounds like Uncle Fester.
If I could choose Adam's a human family. Body, I would choose Christopher Lloyd.
Or Doc from, you know, Back to the Future.
You're right, right.
Yeah. He follows Tim home because he needs to get his spaceship back.
Okay.
And of course, discovered by Tim in his silver Martian suit with antenna on his head. My God. It's so bad. Like the plot and the storyline do not even flow. This was just the biggest crapper. Crapper.
This is
need a lot of enemas. For this one.
To eject this one. This is the reason I like to pick these movies because Lore struggles and it's just,
I struggle,
you know,
so bad. You know what? I'm like, I don't even know what's going on here.
Right. Same.
Yeah. But his suit is a character in and of itself and it's called Zoot.
Oh, okay. Zoot suit.
Yeah. So as Tim catches him, the Zoot, yeah, as the Cherry Pop and Daddies would.
Thank you. Yes.
Zoot suit riot.
Brian Setzer?
No, it's the Cherry Pop and Daddies.
It's the same genre, Lore. Stay with me.
Come on, man. Anyway, the suit makes a break for it and takes on a life of his own.
Okay.
Okay. The only funny line in this entire movie is he says, "I think I fought spot fought-ed."
I think a little pee came out on that one.
I think I spotted Jimmy Hoffa under Tim's couch.
Okay, well, they got you there. I'm surprised that didn't turn this from a 0 to a 10 in your eyes. You love a Jimmy Hoffa joke.
I do love a Jimmy Hoffa joke.
You really do.
Anyway, Tim tries to attack the Zoot with a golf club, and the naked Martian knocks him out because he doesn't have his Zoot suit.
Okay, yeah.
Oh gosh. Just then, Lizzie...
Lord, get it together.
Oh my
Have
God.
Have you had any alcohol today?
No. Just then Lizzie arrives to see Tim, and as to not give himself away, the Martian turns himself into Tim.
To Jeff Daniels?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm trying to stay with you here.
And lays a lip lock on Lizzie.
Okay, so course, he made a move.
Right, and of course she has the hots for Tim.
So she's into it.
So now she thinks the feelings are mutual.
Oh, no. And they're not.
Fake Tim gets rid of Lizzie.
Frim.
Frim. Not Frawl, but Frim. The real Tim awakens after being knocked out to realize he is an alien in his house
right.
with a broken spaceship.
Yeah.
You know, and of course... After some witty repartee, Tim agrees to help the Martian fix the ship.
Love that.
So he can get back home to Mars.
Yeah, let's get you out of here, buddy.
Let's get you out of here. I mean, I would be like, sure, let me help you.
I was going to say, let's hang. Let's hang out.
Although he stands out in his Zoot suit, and it's no riot, it's off to the local tiki hut to get some California surfer dude duds.
Okay.
So he can blend in.
Love a tiki hut.
There's this whole scene in this clothing store in the suit. Zoot is making a big deal because he tries to take him off and he's crying and he throws a temper tantrum until he spots a short, sultry tiki dress that he tries to hit on. I mean, I cannot make this shit up. This movie is so bad.
This is a train wreck, but you know, it's not Lore's fault. It's the movie's fault.
No, it's the movie. It is so bad. Cut to the reporter, Brace, covering the senior citizen tanning contest. Yes, I said that.
Tanning contest.
Oh, senior citizen tanning contest.
Oh, okay. I forgot. I missed that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior citizen tanning contest.
You know what? Love a crispy nugget.
Every time Liz Hurley appears on camera, it just makes the movie a little worse. I'm so sorry.
Oh, rest in peace to Liz's hopes and dreams after you're just roasting the shit
and
out of her.
She still had a career after this. I don't understand. Tim and Uncle Martin show up because Tim is trying to see if he can get his job back, you know?
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And Uncle Martin discovers ice cream and likes it. So this is a scene in an ice cream shop where he has some ice cream and then he just like goes... He goes ham.
One of the only pleasures of being a human, ice cream.
Yeah. And he's like indulging in the ice cream and it's floating in the air. And
love that.
Oh my gosh. And then he has like, I don't know, a jiggly stomach because he ate so much ice cream.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, I feel bad for you.
The prosthetic is just so bad. The special effects.
Maybe and I'm again, never going to do this to you again.
Oh my God. This movie is shit. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, Bryce is kidnapped by SETI, a government organization looking for aliens.
Oh.
And she's interrogated.
Why her? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that just is going to take too much time to explain.
Yeah, I don't need to know.
I don't have it. I don't have it.
I don't need
to know. Don't anybody go watch this movie. While Martin, I've taken one for the team. I will just say that.
Yet again.
While Martin attempts to fix his spaceship, Zoot is having the time of his life in the washing machine.
Okay.
With a Downy martini.
With a Downy? Like a Downy? Like a, okay.
Yes.
Like the, okay, I get it. Cute.
Yeah. And Martin is feeling the need to shed his human form. And lets it all hang out in Timmy's hot tub.
Like all of it?
Yeah, like he becomes an alien again.
Okay.
Yeah. Tim takes the opportunity to film it all because he's going to make history, right? Mm-hmm. It's the story of a lifetime.
Right.
And he wants to get his shitty job back.
Okay, he's really set on
He's really set on this crappy job. But of course, Uncle Martin is starting to grow on Tim. And he's having second thoughts,
they're
right?
They're having a bromance a little
bit. They are having a little bit of a bromance. Tim calls Lizzie to come over. So he can fill her in. She thinks he wants to get romantic.
Fill her in.
And she gets all gussied up before heading over. Plot twist. The government agency releases Brace and she agrees to get proof of aliens.
Oh, shit. And she knows, she's plotting.
She knows right where to go, right? And heads to Tim's looking all sexy under the guise of being interested in him.
Oh, ew. Okay.
She steals the tapes. The hot tub time machine tapes.
The hot tub tapes. It sounds really dirty. The hot tub tapes.
She steals the tape and Lizzie catches her in the act and thinks something is going on between those two. Right? And she's not happy.
Yeah.
Tim tries to explain it's an alien, right?
Right.
But Lizzie is not buying it until she witnesses the Zoot suit in the washing machine.
The...
Must I go on? They have a tussle in the spaceship and somehow the spaceship is shrunk back to toy size and they're trapped in there. Her and the Zoot.
Okay.
They head to the radio station to stop Brace from airing the tapes. They realize she took them and Martin assumes her identity.
Right? Oh, right. Cause he's
a Martian.
An alien. Right. Yeah.
He ties her up and he becomes her. And what he says, I mean, this.
Oh no. Is it bad?
I mean,
tell me, what does he say?
He says that it is dark and empty in here because he's
because
like
she's not
mind.
Too bright. Okay. Ouch.
Right.
You know
and
what?
I feel like that's a common, you she know, does stereotype.
Kinda, well, she plays that character.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? You brought it upon yourself. No, just kidding. You know what? That's a good roast. Way to go,
it's
Martin.
It's dark and empty in here. They managed to switch the tape, so all is saved. Speed round wrap up, because I just absolutely cannot
Laura
take
has clearly
another.
Had enough.
I can't even
tell.
Speak. They're chased by the government agency, hot on their heels. At one point, the car gets shrunk. It's in a toilet. Somebody's taking a crap on the top.
Clinker.
Clinker City, friend.
Uh-huh. There it is. We've gotten a good amount of poop jokes in here, I do want to say.
Oh my gosh. The mini spaceship goes back to real size and the Zoot is injured. Lizzie turns into an alien and saves the day. They rescue Martin. Zoot is okay. And
I'm yawning over here.
And the gang escapes.
You know what?
This is a turd sandwich. This is a shit sandwich. I can't
think
even.
This is worse than Howard the Duck.
I'll take Howard the Duck any day over this. Martin and Zoot decide to remain on Earth with Lizzie and Tim, who are now a couple. And this is the end. Thank the Lord.
What happened to Brace?
Thank the Lord. Who the hell knows? She's still tied up in the chair somewhere. I don't think we saw her again. I'm like, who the hell's that? Oh yeah, Liz Hurley. That's how unforgettable she is. Shit, okay, she's still tied up in the chair at the radio station.
This is not the roast to Elizabeth
this
Hurley.
This is crap. Well, this is without a doubt the worst. This is worse than Mac and Me. Worse.
That was my goal.
You know, at least
I
he
succeeded. Happy birthday
at
to me.
At least he went down the hill.
at least we had that in Mac and Me. Yeah. You know what? I did succeed.
And at least I saw Jennifer Aniston dancing in the McDonald's parking lot.
Exactly. You know what?
I mean, there were a few nuggets in there that made it worthy.
This didn't have any.
No.
It didn't. I'm so sorry. I knew that when I picked this. I was like, wow, I really outdid myself here. This is fucking shit.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Kudos to you.
Happy birthday to me.
Kudos to you.
And I take a bow.
I mean, I think I'm sweating.
I think
I'm actually sweating.
You know what? I think I am too, a little bit. Do you think that I won? Can we finally admit that I have won?
You have not won. Nope. You wait.
She said you will not get the last word.
Maybe I'll make you do Mary Reilly.
Ooh. Oh, fuck. Why do you keep sticking me with Julia Roberts? My God. Knock it off.
All right. Here are my fun facts. Okay. There weren't many.
Yeah.
All right. Marlon Wayans and David Duchovny were considered for the role of Zoot, the talking suit.
Probably would have gone better.
You dodged a bullet. You dodged a bullet.
They're both sitting back thinking, woo. But you know what? It probably would have made for a better film.
I feel like, and I could be totally wrong, Jake, please fact check me, but I feel like I said the name, which was uncredited, but I think it's the guy from Seinfeld.
I was going to say, who played Zoot? Which guy from Seinfeld? Jerry?
Newman.
Oh, okay. Was it Jerry?
I never even watched that show, and I know Newman.
You know what? Nailed it. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's who played his voice. It sounded very familiar.
Well, you know what? Fact check Jake will let us know.
He'll let us know. All right. Let's see. Where the hell am I? This is chaos. This is anarchy. In one scene, Lizzie can be seen sporting an Incredible Hulk t-shirt.
Okay.
Interesting enough, Bill Bixby, who starred in the OG series, played Dr. David Banner to Lou Ferrigno's Hulk.
You love Lou.
To which I, of course, looked up the fun facts on Lou Ferrigno, and that was literally the best part of this whole damn segment.
Laura went down a rabbit hole.
I was like, ooh, Lou Ferrigno, he's pretty damn interesting dude. I love Bill Bixby.
And you love Lou.
And I love Lou.
We've met him before.
We have. And you know what? He's like 70 years old. He looks good.
Laura, okay.
He looks good.
You
Lou
and
Ferrigno,
Lou?
You're looking good. All right. And I know how you like to bring color.
I am normally the chaotic one. So this is why
chaos.
I have succeeded, because Laura's just like, she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Just hitting on Lou Ferrigno. Yeah.
I know how you like to bring color and the use of it in movies. So early on in the movie, there's this unusual focus on this red lava lamp, right? In Tim's apartment.
Love a lava lamp.
Any chance they could get, it would be like zoom up on this lava lamp. This
Why?
I don't know, because Uncle Martin, he gets super thirsty at one point and he pops off the top and guzzles it down.
That's kind of funny. Come on.
Really?
Come on.
I was like, that's really a buildup for a literal fizzle.
I mean, okay, Laura, I was trying to give him something.
All right. What is my lesson in this crapper of a movie?
Were those your only fun
facts? That's it. I told you there weren't many. Okay. That was it. And that last one, I made up myself. It wasn't even a fun fact. I was like, the lava lamp was semi-interesting. God damn. What a shit show.
Okay, what's your lesson?
What is my lesson?
Oh, man. Martians?
You know, because you said, why don't we talk about Martians? We haven't talked about them yet. What's the difference between them and aliens? Lab coat. Sum that up in about 2 seconds.
I didn't know.
Martians are aliens from the planet Mars.
Well, how the fuck was I supposed to know? I guess it's in the name. Fuck
that's
you
it.
All.
That's
fuck you
it.
All.
That's my lesson. No. That's it. That's all there was. No. Mars, the red planet.
Ah.
Which probably explains the red lava lamp.
I'm there with you.
Yeah. So named for the Roman god of war and agriculture, which kind of seems like a weird mashup. But probably because it was customary at the time to spill blood and burn down your enemy's crops in times of war.
Well, you know what? Okay. You know what? We've calmed down.
It makes all the sense.
I was going to say we've calmed down since then, but we haven't really. Right? So. No.
So Mars in your astrological chart lines up because it is the planet of passion, anger, and war. All red, right?
Love it, yes.
And its placement in your chart can really have you seeing red.
Yeah.
It's a good indicator of how one fights and what they fight for.
Yeah, we just talked about this. Mm-hmm. How are you going to throw down?
Yeah. Mars will tell you.
My Mars is in Cancer. Ooh. And I don't throw down polite. I am a little... I'm a little bitch.
I'm going to have to go look and see where mine's at.
And yeah.
Interesting.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Virgo, honey.
Oh, shit. Is it?
Probably.
Gosh, darn, that stinks. All right. The telescope helped propel Mars's role in the sci-fi fantasy literature.
Okay.
Okay. When Italian astronomer Giovanni Schiaparelli
nailed it,
peered through his in 1877 to take a gander at the surface of the planet.
Okay.
He believed he saw lines crisscrossing the planet. And furthermore,
crisscross the band.
Pass the duchy. Is that them?
No.
Who would they sing?
Crisscross will make you jump.
Right? Are they like a one hit wonder?
Oh my God.
Crisscross.
This is not the roast of Crisscross. I have to look it up because watch me be wrong.
The duchy on the left hand side.
You know what? That's a good one too, though.
It is a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. Crisscross. I was right. Jump. Crisscross will make you jump. And they wore their pants
backwards. Crisscrossed.
Okay. Anyway,
back to the planet Mars. Uh-huh. All right. So he thought that he saw crisscrossing lines on the planet and he believed these to be channels or canals.
Canals
indicating intricate like intricate water waves, yeah, so that there was like life intelligent on life on Mars.
Is there life on Mars?
Of course he was wrong, but that did not stop him from spending his entire life trying to prove a utopian society did indeed inhabit inhabit.
This was the best thing that could have ever happened for my birthday. Laura's. I threw her off so bad with this movie choice. She does not even know what's happening.
I don't.
You can't even talk.
I can't.
All you've had is a kombucha. There's like a mild amount of alcohol in there.
A kombucha.
Just fermented, Laura. Grow up.
Anyway, he spent his entire life trying to prove a utopian society did indeed inhabit the planet of Mars. Whew, his passion for his pursuit sparked a public love affair with the idea that life could exist on another planet, and specifically Mars.
Okay.
In 1899, Nikola Tesla...
There he is.
Claimed to have indeed received communications from the Martians.
No shit.
While conducting his experiments on high frequency electrical transmissions at his lab in Colorado Springs.
Get out your lab coat. Okay, yes. Well, whatever came of that?
It was later proven to be common radio waves produced from interstellar gas clouds.
Ooh, that's embarrassing.
Bummer. Gas leads to poop.
It just was me farting. It got picked up on a Tesla coil. What's this? That's so embarrassing.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Classic works of science fiction also fueled the frenzy that life could exist on Mars.
Yeah.
Like 1917's A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Okay.
But the Mac Daddy is H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds, published in 1898.
I'm acting like I've read it. I'm like, yes.
I've read it many times.
I've never read it.
Many leather-bound books.
Am I Ron Burgundy? Tell me yes or no.
You are Ron Burgundy.
Oh, no.
It was a huge success, the book, right?
Yeah.
But it had a resurgence in 1938 when a young and at the time little known actor named Orson Welles, no relation, decided to adapt the novel for radio.
Oh, okay.
And it was going to be aired the night before Halloween.
Ooh, spooky.
Welles chose to structure the story as a series of realistic news bullets.
Oh, wait, I yeah, do know like about bulletins. This. Yes.
And that described an attack on New Jersey from Martians.
People thought it was real, right?
Yeah. He should have received an Oscar nom for that performance because people actually believed it was the real deal.
Blair Witch who?
Causing mass hysteria in the streets.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Like listening to the radio, it's like, doot, 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 doot.
I would totally, I would have bought into it. I'd be like, my fucking God. It's happening.
New Jersey's going down.
Not New Jersey. Anywhere but Jersey.
Not the Jersey Shore.
Not Tony Soprano. Save the Gabagool.
Save the Bada Bing.
You know I love New Jersey.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. All right, where the hell was that? Yeah. It was chaos. It was anarchy. And this fueled more than any other event the public's fascination with the red planet and the belief that there were Martians in them there hills.
They couldn't let it go.
Could not let it go.
I see why.
Yeah, but in 1964, when NASA launched a flyby photo op of the surface of Mars, they could not detect any signs of life.
Bummer.
Or that there ever had been life on the red rock.
Wow.
It was a barren wasteland.
She's dry.
She was dry. And just like that.
I was going to make a joke, but I
don't do it.
I kept it in.
All the hopes were dashed and the public's fascination with the Martians faded into oblivion.
Oh, really?
That is until, yeah, but that is until 1996 when a meteorite believed to be from Mars sparked a debate that it contained biomarkers proving primitive life existed on this planet.
Ooh, okay.
This caused a sensation in the press and a renewed interest in those little green men.
Why wouldn't they be red?
Yeah. I don't know. That's where they came from. Great. Another lesson for another
day. Anyway.
Little red men. He was in the movie, Red.
Well, he should be. He's from Mars. Okay,
well,
anyway.
There you go. Hold the phone. Most scientists concurred that the meteorite had just been contaminated with Earth contaminants
upon
landing.
Why do we have to fuck everything up?
Explaining the organic matter. But the jury is still out. There's like a debate that goes back and forth.
Okay.
What do you think? Life on the planet?
Oh, I think there's, sure. Oh, yeah.
I would think that it would be very, like, gaseous.
You know what? I'd fit right in.
Like, the air wouldn't be able to be.
So would you, girl. God, you're one gassy human being.
Again, sign me up. Okay, Cupid.
I'm not helping the case. No, she's not. She's not gaseous at all. Yeah, I think there's life on pretty much every planet. I just think that we, like, can't find them. I don't know. That's all. That's
I need proof.
Yeah, Laura's brain can't. My Aquarian mind is totally fine with not knowing the answers. I'm like, they're there.
I'm definitely Scully in this.
Oh, yeah. I am Mulder, and you and Jake are Scully, hands down. I'm fighting
proof.
For my life over here.
Yeah.
I don't need proof.
Yeah.
Me and Jake talk about that all the time. He's like, don't you ever wonder what happens to us after we die? And I'm like, nah.
Gosh, it's the age-old question.
I think about it, but I don't need to know. Yeah. I don't need to know the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with not knowing.
I always think we're like in the movie Powder. We just kind of go out into the ether and we touch the lives of everybody. That's what I think.
To make this
I burst
movie.
Into a million.
Could this episode have gotten more depressing? Let me bring up Powder. Let me bring up. That scene where he's with the dying deer crushed me forever.
Right?
I still haven't recovered. Now I'm going to go cry. Okay, anyway.
That's it. That's all I have. What a shit sandwich.
You know what? I love that.
A shit storm, a pile of shit.
Get him in.
Turd Ferguson is on the mic. Just call me Turd Ferguson.
That could not have gone better. Like, it really could not have. That's exactly what I want to happen in these episodes. And I don't think I've ever succeeded more than I have today. I could tell that was painful for you.
That was so painful.
Cool lesson, though. I did like your lesson in all of this.
That's it. That's
you know
all
what?
I got.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you
so
for
welcome.
Always playing along with me
I
for my birthday. She's going to eat Pray Love Me.
Yeah, I sure am.
And you know what? That is equally as torturing because I can't fucking stand that movie.
You've never even watched it.
Yes, I fucking have. You've made me watch
it. I've tried
to. She eats pasta with one man in Italy. She fucking is praying somewhere else with another man.
The guy from 6 feet under.
No shit. Yeah,
the dad.
Okay, we've come full circle and we're going to end there.
All right.
Hey, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow. We will be back next week with your regularly scheduled programming. The movies will be magical, right? I'm looking at. Yeah. Ooh, we've got a good one next week.
We do.
Ooh, it's the like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're going to get sexy. Laura, get ready. It's time to find you a partner.
Again, you see our choices.
She's not gassy. I just want to make that note. I was totally kidding. And scene. We'll catch you next week.
All right, TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.